morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. 3 minutes after 9 a.m., February 7th, 2020. With me today, Senator Bishop, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Wilikowski, Co-Chair Von Imhoff, and Senator Wilson are both doing other duties today. They will not be here. So I'm covering for Senator Von Imhoff. Today, we have one item on the agenda, first hearing for House Bill 41, Shellfish Projects, Hatcheries and Fees. So we're going to hear that bill and then take some public testimony on the bill and then set it aside for further review. With that, I'd like to invite Representative Ortiz to come forward. Ortiz, I should say.
Anything works,
could you,
Mr. Chairman.
Would you sit in the middle, chair, if you would, please?
Hard to get the sights on.
If you could introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and then we'll go ahead and have you go over the legislation in front of us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee, for agreeing to hear House Bill 41. My name is Dan Ortiz, and I represent District 36, Southern Southeast Alaska. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm very excited to have the opportunity to present House Bill 41. Because it's a step in the process for coastal Alaska to move forward with a very, very, I think, exciting opportunity to help the economies of and communities of coastal Alaska. House Bill 41 is the enhancement of Alaska's shellfish industry. Again, it holds the potential of expanded economic opportunities in Alaska and coastal communities and increased resilience of the state's fisheries portfolio. To tap this potential, House Bill 41 allows qualified nonprofits to pursue enhancement and/or restoration projects involving shellfish species, including red and blue king crab, sea cucumber, abalone, and razor clams. The bill creates a regulatory framework, Mr. Chairman, with which the Department of Fish and Game can manage shellfish enhancement projects and outlines criteria for issuance of permits. It sets out stringent safety standards to ensure sustainability and health of existing natural stocks. The commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game must also make a determination of substantial public benefit before a project can proceed. In addition, Mr. Chairman, the bill allows the Department of Fish and Game to set the application fee for a shellfish enhancement project permit and grants the similar authority over the application fee for a salmon enhancement project permit. House Bill 41, as it exists, plays an important role in the development of mariculture in Alaska by providing a method to increase the available harvest of shellfish for public use in an environmentally safe and responsible manner. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would also like to invite up my staff person, Liz Harpold, who will help to further explain the impacts of this particular bill.
Rep. Ortiz, you need a lifeline, do you, to explain your bill?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I need no lifeline. However, I would like to again offer the opportunity for Ms. Harpold, who has had quite a bit of extensive communication with stakeholder groups in relationship to this particular bill, and I think has some things to offer to the betterment of the committee, Mr. Chairman.
Committee would like to invite Ms. Harpold to the
Thank
committee,
you, Mr.
please.
Chairman.
Ms. Harpold, if you could introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and then speak to the bill, and you probably want to walk us through the bill by section.
Certainly. Thank you. My name is Liz Harpold. I'm staff to Representative Ortiz, and I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come up and speak a little bit more about this bill. My boss did a great job. So the purpose of this bill came about because many stakeholders and participants in Alaska's commercial fishing industry came together to identify shellfish enhancement restoration as something that will over time help improve our shellfish fisheries and expand the economic opportunities. So currently, shellfish enhancement is not allowed in Alaska, but this bill provides the regulatory framework for fishing game to permit it, and it's modeled off of the current salmon enhancement statutes, AS 1610. And to back up a little bit, since we have been mentioning mariculture a little, it's something that's grown quite a bit in Alaska, and mariculture encompasses the enhancement, restoration, and farming of shellfish or seaweeds. However, aquatic farming, which is a private business, such as an oyster or kelp farm, is already in place and taking off, and they have the regulatory framework to do so. This bill does not have to do with that. This bill does have to do with the public benefit aspect of mariculture development, which is the enhancement and restoration of species. Enhancement is intended to create a greater abundance of shellfish for the public to harvest, who are legally able to fish there, such as commercial fisheries, sport fish, personal use, subsistence. And restoration plays into this too. They haven't had a tool to remedy this decline in certain shellfish species, such as crab, but this will help them do that. So, as my boss alluded to earlier, this plays a very important role in the development of mariculture in Alaska by providing a method to increase the available harvest of shellfish for public use and environmentally safe, and should ultimately improve Alaska's overall fishing economy. And I'd be happy to walk through the sectional when
Do we have any initial questions before the bill sponsor walks us through the bill? Seeing none, go ahead and take us to the bill.
Thank you. So for House Bill 41, version U, Section 1 provides the Alaska Board of Fisheries authority to direct the department to manage production of enhanced shellfish stocks beyond broodstock needs for cost recovery harvest. Section 2 grants the Department of Fish and Game the authority to set the fee for a new private nonprofit salmon hatcheries based on regulatory costs. And I just want to point out that this is the only section in this bill dealing with salmon hatcheries or salmon enhancement projects. And the reason being is because a later section in this bill concerns the fees associated with shellfish enhancement permitting. And we just wanted to make an update to that salmon hatchery permitting, since the original fee was $100 and that was set back in 1974. So we just kind of wanted to give it an update to match what we're doing for shellfish enhancement projects. Section 3 states that the fees collected in Section 2 will be accounted for separately as non-general fund program receipts. Section 4, which is the bulk of this bill, adds a new Chapter 12 to Title 16, Shellfish Stock Enhancement Project. AS 1612.10 provides direction to the Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game on issuance of permits for private nonprofit shellfish fishery enhancement projects and grants the department the authority to set the permit application fee. States the permit fee will be accounted for separately as non-general fund program receipts. This section directs the commissioner to consult with technical experts in the relevant areas before permit issuance. AS 1612-20 provides for a hearing and public notification and input process prior to issuance of a permit. AS 1612-30 describes terms and conditions for permit holders to conduct their work, including cost recovery fisheries, harvest, sale, and release of enhancement project produced shellfish, and selection of broodstock sources. AS 1612-40 describes the revocation process should a permit holder fail to comply with the terms and conditions of the permit. AS 1612-50 specifies that shellfish produced under an approved enhancement project are a common property resource with provision for special harvest areas by permit holders. This section also specifies the Board of Fisheries to establish regulations relating to this chapter. AS 1612-60 directs the department to advise and assist permit holders in their planning, operations, and construction of facilities to a reasonable and appropriate extent. AS 1612-70 provides department authority to approve source and number of shellfish taken for use as broodstock. AS 1612-80 places restrictions on how monies received from sale of shellfish may be used only for operating costs associated with their facilities. AS 161290 relates to cost recovery fisheries and provides a means by which a shellfish hatchery may contract to either harvest and sell shellfish or to implement a self-assessment from amongst its membership for purposes of recovering operational costs associated with the hatchery. AS 1612-100 gives the department authority to inspect facilities at any time while the facility is in operation. AS 1612-110 requires a permit holder to submit an annual report to the department. AS 1612-199 provides definitions for enhancement project, facility, genetically modified shellfish, hatchery, and shellfish. Section 5 provides the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission authority to issue special harvest area entry permits to holders of private nonprofit shellfish rehabilitation or enhancement project permits. Section 6 defines legal fishing gear for special harvest area entry permit holders. Section 7 exempts shellfish raised in a private nonprofit shellfish project from the farmed fish definition. Section 8 defines the fees collected for salmon hatchery permit applications and shellfish enhancement project permit applications as non-general fund program receipts. Sections 9 and 10 establish state corporate income tax exemption for a nonprofit corporation holding a shellfish fishery enhancement permit. Section 11 exempts shellfish harvested under a special harvest area entry permit from seafood development taxes. Section 12 establishes an effective date for the salmon hatchery permit application fee described in Section 2. Section 13 authorizes the Department of Fish and Game to adopt implementing regulations. Section 14 establishes an immediate effective date for Section 11 pursuant to AS1.10.70C. Section 15 establishes an effective date for Section 8 concomitant with Section 2, Chapter 55, SLA 2013. And that concludes the sectional.
Do we have questions on the bill concept? Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Good overview. Looks like a good bill. I just have a few specific issues that...
Could you please pull your mic up? I can't hear you at all.
Okay, thank you. Just have a few specific issues I wanted to ask about. Can you talk about the impacts to personal use? If companies enhance an area, will that area then be in turn off limits to the public?
Certainly, great question. And if I may, through the chair... We have somebody from the Department of Fish and Game who would be better suited to answer that question, Flip Pryor, if we could invite him up.
Well, we're going to bring the department up when we're done here.
Okay.
And then Senator Wilikowski then could fire off the question if you feel it's
okay.
More appropriate for the department. Just we'll field the question back to him and we'll bring it back.
Great.
Any other initial questions to the bill sponsor? Okay. So we will allow you folks to retreat. Don't leave. We'll have you back. We're going to bring up the department. There's somebody from the department here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I don't see you on the sign-up list. So. Make sure you sign up when you come in. Come on up. You can introduce yourself for the record, and we'd like to know what the department, if they have any concerns or issues with this bill. When we get done with that, then we'll take committeemen's questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Flip Pryor. I'm the Aquaculture Section Chief with the Department of Fish and Game Commercial Fisheries Division.
Okay. It was just a mistitle on here. So that's fine. Go ahead and tell us what the department thinks of this bill, good, bad, or otherwise, if there's any issues with it or what.
The department has spent a lot of time with this bill and was involved in crafting the bill, and the department doesn't have issues with it.
So it's a perfect bill as drafted?
I wouldn't say it's a perfect bill, but I don't have issues with it.
Does the department support the bill?
Department supports the bill.
Is Senator Wilikowski, you have a question for the department.
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. After, will companies be enhancing areas that in turn will be off limits to the public?
Addressing the question through the chair, no. The idea of this bill is to provide opportunity, and the areas that will be set up for special harvest areas are not off limits to the public, but they will be managed accordingly, in which case there may be issues, instances of, say, broodstock shortage, which would restrict access, but generally it's going to be open to the public.
Follow-up?
Yeah. And these areas that will be set up, will recreational fishermen, I assume, will be able to use those, and would they be charged to use those? Would they be able to just go in and have, according to fishing game regulation, just like any other area, use that area?
Addressing the question through the chair, yeah, it'll be just like any other area.
Follow up.
How are you going to manage, because there's a certain amount of take that would be allowed, how are you going to manage that when the public is coming in and you have no sort of oversight over what the public is taking other than setting limits?
Addressing the question through the chair, it would be managed just like any other fishery.
Continue on, because we have no other questions from other committee members. Let's go to Senator Bishop. We'll go around the table, and we'll come back to Senator Wilikowski, and we'll go around a circle until everybody has all their questions answered, or at least asked, and then Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along Senator Wilikowski's line of questioning, but can you give us an example in Section 6? It talks about designated gear. As designated as legal gear for harvest, and could you give us some examples of what a legal gear is for the harvest of these shellfish?
Yes, addressing the question to the chair. Example of some of the current fisheries we have with special harvest areas. Generally, legal gear is the same as what's legal for the commercial fishery, but in some instances there might be modifications. Example is Neats Bay Hatchery, the special harvest area. Towards the back end, the fish chum, they tend to get, you know, gaitered up and the teeth show, whatever. So they have a provision with the cost recovery harvest. They can use a herring web at the very back end of the bay because it's very segregated. Don't have wild stocks occurring back there, and it makes it for a more efficient fishery. So there can be modifications done for cost recovery efforts that are different than what would be legal for the commercial fishery in general.
Thank you. Just a brief follow-up, if you could give me an example for shellfish.
I cannot think of one off the top of my head.
Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at the legislation that's proposed, it's geared more, almost all of it toward a nonprofit corporation. Why can't a for-profit corporation be involved as well? They would seem to be somebody that's be able to survive economically if they wanted to invest in that.
Okay, addressing the question to the chair. Traditionally, it's been nonprofits involved in the salmon industry. Mm-hmm. Once the fish, in that case fish, are released, they become common property. So they return back to the site. They, again, have access to sport fish and whatnot. It doesn't make a lot of sense for a private company to get involved with that.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under Section 2, it talks, it's currently a $100 fee, and that's being changed to an amount determined under H. And can you just explain how that the fees would be determined and what sort of fees we would be looking at?
Addressing the question through the chair, that at this time is indeterminate. We would look at the volume of permits coming in. We don't expect there to be a lot. It's generally thought there'll be two or three the first couple of years and then one a year after that. So we'll look at what kind of staff time needs to be dedicated to processing those permits. We currently have a very good system in place and we feel that it can accept a little bit more pressure.
Different area, but can you explain how the cost recovery would work under this system?
Okay, addressing the question to the chair. Most likely it's going to be assessment tax. It's going to vary case to case, species to species, but an example of what's currently going on with the assessment tax is Hidden Falls Hatchery, where the all participants in the fishery are taxed a percentage of their harvest that goes to pay for the cost of the operation.
Go ahead and continue.
On the tax issue, under Section 11, shellfish are being exempted from the tax. And can you talk about what the current rate of taxation is, and is that going to be recovered through the cost recovery?
Addressing the question through the chair, I don't think I'm the right person to answer that question.
Could you repeat the question, please, Senator Wilkowski?
Yes, it was regarding Section 11, there's an exemption being created for a tax for shellfish, and I'm just curious what that tax is and if whether or not that the loss in potential revenue is going to be recouped through some other means like cost recovery.
Okay, we'll bring that question back here in a little bit with another department when we're done here with Fish and Game. You have other questions, Senator Wilkowski, because no one else is queuing up, so
yes,
we can keep going.
Thank you. I assume the department will still be responsible for paralytic shellfish toxin testing, or would the nonprofit be responsible for that?
Addressing the question through the chair, actually not sure how that's going to work. Again, I think it's going to be species specific and case by case basis. If it's similar to goey duck fisheries, then the harvesters were charged with the testing in that case.
So we'll work on that question also and follow up folks here at the table and clarify that, and just mark your question to make sure we come back to it. Next question, go ahead.
Thank you. Genetically modified, I see a definition in here, but would a nonprofit be permitted to genetically modify shellfish and then return them or harvest them, I guess?
Addressing the question to the chair, no. The idea would be to use local stocks and try to not affect the genetics of the species.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And just on that topic, because this is an issue I've dealt with for many years and when I was on the Resources Committee, I know this became an issue. If you have a non-native stock to a specific area, will you be allowing non-native types of shellfish to be introduced in areas where they currently are not introduced?
Addressing the question to the chair, no. The idea is to use local stocks in all cases.
Follow up?
And then, can you just talk about how you anticipate defining special areas with crab enhancements since crabs move around?
Addressing the question to the chair, special harvest areas will be defined by commissioner authority. It can be done through the permit process or by EO. My understanding of how things will work is that there will be a very defined area, and that will be the special harvest area. If crab move out of that area, they move out of that area, but the fishing will take place inside that area.
Thank you.
And I assume EO is not a puppet on the Muppet Show? It's something else. Who's EO?
Mr. Chair, I apologize. Emergency order.
Okay, thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we look at the water starting to warm up here in Alaska with global warming and the effects it has on anhydrous fish and those species, what kind of effect will it have on the enhancement efforts that are being put forth by these nonprofits?
Addressing the question through the chair, I don't think that's been determined what's going to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I think I forgot to mention at the beginning of the meeting that Senator Geisel's been here since inception here this morning, so I think I forgot that. Other questions, Senator Wilikowski?
Just maybe a little, it talks about in page 3, section 4, would result in substantial public benefits. And can you talk a little bit how you determine what a substantial public benefit is? Is that substantial public benefit for private sport personal use? Is that substantial public benefit for commercial use? How does the department define that?
Addressing the question through the chair, I think it would be the sum of all those things.
And,
go ahead.
Are oysters native to Alaska?
Addressing the question through the chair, no, they are not.
And would they be covered by this?
Addressing the question through the chair, currently the aquatic farm operation has oysters. I don't see the enhancement of oysters being part of this bill.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Senator Bishop?
If you can answer this, how long have we've been raising oysters? I know of at least 60 years growing here with seeds. Has it been longer than that?
Addressing the question through the chair, I actually don't know when it began. I know it has been, like you say, a very long time, and we've been doing it for generations and generations.
Thank you.
Other questions for the Department of Fish and Game? Okay, thank you. We're going to go to the Department of Revenue. We have a deputy director, Brandon Spanos. If he could introduce himself for the record, Senator Wilikowski, then if he could repeat his question dealing with revenue, and we can try to get an answer on that. Mr. Spanos.
Yes, sorry, the line was unmuted, came over, and I wasn't sure if you wanted me to speak first. My name is Brandon Spanos, Deputy Director for the Tax Division in the Department of Revenue. And did you want me to address Representative Wilikowski's question?
No, I'd like you, Senator Wilikowski, to re-ask his question, make it easier to follow, and then you can help the committee with the answer to the question, please. But Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was regarding Section 11. There's an exemption being added for shellfish to the tax code, and I was just curious what the current tax is, and I had asked Fish and Game whether or not they anticipated recovering those lost revenue through some other means, like a cost recovery. So if you have an answer to either one of those, that'd be helpful.
Okay, from the deputy. Well, the Department of Revenue, could you help the committee with those questions, please?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Wilikowski. The Section 11 is exempting this new assessment from another assessment. So Section 4376.350 is the Regional Seafood Development Tax, and that tax is another elective tax. And it's on fishery resources using specific gear types that are sold or exported from designated seafood development regions, and then that revenue is deposited into a special seafood development tax within the general fund that is then subject to appropriation, goes back to the seafood development development associations. So what the salmon enhancement tax is already exempt from the regional seafood development tax. It's in lieu of. There are two separate assessments that go to different associations. And this bill would create another assessment in lieu of the regional seafood development tax.
Senator,
and that tax currently is at 1%.
Senator Wilkowski, we have a follow-up for the department, or any member follow-up for the Department of Revenue. Okay, seeing none, thank you. You're speaking to the Senate Finance Committee, not the House Finance Committee.
I apologize, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So that concludes any questions for the Department of Revenue. Now we're going to go to invited testimony. We have one person on the invited testimony, Ms. Julie Decker from the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. Ms. Decker, if you could come on and speak to this bill, please, and help with any potential or any of the questions that were asked, if you want to add anything to those answers.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and Senate Finance Committee. I'm testifying today on behalf of the Alaska Mariculture Task Force, and I would like to express support for HB 41, which is really a part of a larger plan to develop the mariculture industry in Alaska. In 2016, Governor Walker established and appointed members to the Mariculture Task Force by Administrative Order Number 280. They were given a directive to provide recommendations to develop a viable and sustainable mariculture industry. And in 2018, the task force completed a statewide comprehensive plan in order to accelerate the development of mariculture. And the goal of that plan is to grow a $100 million a year industry in 20 years. This bill is one of the priority recommendations of that plan. This bill allows interested stakeholders to either continue working towards enhancement or restoration of shellfish species such as blue and red king crab, sea cucumber, gooey duck, abalone, razor clams, and others. HB 41 is also modeled after Alaska's Salmon Fishery Enhancement Program, which has proven to be successful resource development. This framework is absolutely necessary to continue moving forward with the development of mariculture related to shellfish enhancement. These stakeholders had been, in some cases, working for over 10 years to develop hatchery techniques in order to allow for the enhancement and restoration of king crab and sea cucumbers. And at this stage, they cannot go any further because they do not have this bill in place. So this is very critical. I would like to briefly address concerns of the potential for negative impact to wild shellfish from hatchery shellfish. The Department of Fish and Game Management incorporates and requires a precautionary approach that prioritizes wild fish and minimizes adverse impacts to wild stocks. Fish and Game has extensive enhancement policies which protect wild stocks, and given these policies, independent third-party experts from around the world have confidence that Fish and Game is fulfilling its constitutional mandate to manage the state's fisheries for sustainability. And therefore, the state's salmon fisheries, for example, is certified as sustainable by two independent third-party organizations. Therefore, the Mariculture Task Force is confident that Fish and Game will also manage shellfish enhancement with the same priority to wild stocks. Another benefit of developing shellfish fishery enhancement is the important role that shellfish hatcheries can play in adapting to ocean changes and acidification. As we develop shellfish hatcheries and techniques, we also are learning more about the effects of ocean acidification and our ability to mitigate these effects in a hatchery setting. For example, we can adjust pH levels at critical juvenile stages to improve survival. Consequently, shellfish hatcheries can play a critical role in the future and position Alaska to better protect its wild stock. Shellfish enhancement can diversify and expand economic opportunities by increasing opportunity to harvest shellfish for sport subsistence and commercial use. And I'd like to explain an example with salmon enhancement. During years 2012 through 2017, salmon enhancement contributed approximately $720 million in excess value to the state of Alaska and $2.1 billion in first wholesale value to the state's economy. Consider this to be the beginning of shellfish enhancement, similar to the 1970s for salmon enhancement. We have a huge potential here, but this is the first step to really realizing that potential. So again, HB 41 is one of the priority recommendations contained in the statewide comprehensive plan for developing the mariculture industry. And I appreciate the time to testify today. And if you have questions, I will stand by.
Thank you for your testimony today. So that kind of concludes our invited testimony. We're going to open the public hearing portion. And we're going to go to Kate Sullivan in Ketchikan. If you can identify yourself, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please.
Hi, my name is Kate Sullivan, and I work with the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association, and I am located in Ketchikan, Alaska, although I represent fishermen from across Southeast Alaska. So we, as an association, we've spent many years and significant amounts of fishermen's money trying to develop sea cucumber enhancement to initially do wild stock enhancement work. And without the ability to actually put sea cucumbers out into the wild, which is what would be required to do enhancement, we really got to a certain point where we stopped doing work. And so we're not sure what our future will be doing that type of work, but we feel that it's a good step for the state to make that allowable. And because we are a commercial fishery, our one statement would be that we want to make sure that whatever is done for shellfish enhancement is compatible with existing commercial fishing uses. And we are on the record of having written letters of support for HB 41 over the last couple of years.
And that concludes your testimony?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Sullivan, for your testimony today. Next up, we're going to go to Anchorage. Nancy Hillstrand from Pioneer Alaska Fisheries.
Yes. Yes, hello. My name is Nancy Hillstrand. I've had 45 years in the fishing industry. We have a 56-year-old corporation, and we are fish processors at this time. I also had 21 years with the department in hatcheries and rehabilitation of the stocks that were depleted in salmon, and I'm very concerned about this bill. Hatcheries are not benign. Crab that are released into wild pastures should not be involved in a mariculture issue such as this, because those are caged species. They are not released as crab would be released. Please remove crab from this bill to remain in research mode. The thought of hatcheries is very beguiling, but hatcheries have a shadow side that must be reconciled. We have a hatchery committee in the Board of Fisheries right now. It'll be meeting in March, and we've only had one meeting so far, and that was last March, and we need more time to be able to do a better job of trying to understand and educating the Board of Fisheries, who are really don't understand this whole complex issue. This puts a big burden on ADF&G and on the Board of Fisheries, and I think it really needs to be slowed down and at least remove crab out of this or any at-large species, because it does not separate the species out. ADF&G has not always implemented the protective policies and the precautionary principles critical to wild populations. We have major, massive straying of hatchery fish right now into our wild streams, and this has to be addressed, but it is not being addressed. HB 141 has not had adequate scientific review or independent counsel for the legislature to make comprehensive decision-making. It mimics 45-year-old statutes that are in serious need of deferred maintenance. It is dangerous and negligent to not address each species separately. For instance, crab do not return to their natal stream. So how large will this SHA have to be in order to, you can't just put them into a bay like they do with salmon. And so will this close off an area to all of the fishermen until they get their cost recovery? These statutes need repair. Please update these statutes with the best science known. I did send you a review that's just out within the last week or two that they've learned from the hatchery reform. It's a congressional hatchery reform that they found from the problems down in the lower 48. No, they don't have to do with dams and things like that, but there's so much that's parallel to the problems we have up here in Alaska. We must look at them. We've learned a lot in the last 45 years. Not all of it has been positive. So please do something to help make sure that we can not jeopardize our wild stocks. It states that we aren't going to, but there is no oversight like we had with Fred Division. These statutes had an entire division of oversight called the Fisheries Rehabilitation and Enhancement Division, and now that's gone. And so how are we going to possibly monitor this incredibly huge addition that Fish and Game will have to take on? So I ask that we do something to safeguard this and to make sure it doesn't get consolidated into large processors' hands like has happened with salmon hatcheries. And please do whatever you can do to slow this this statutes down. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Again, we're not planning on moving this bill. This is the first hearing today on this bill, and we'll be setting it aside for further review. Just to make that clear to everybody that's listening. That concludes the list outside the room. I'd like to go come bring it into the room and hear from the Aleutian Pribilof Island Community Development Association. They have a representative here, Steve Rissi, possibly. You can come forward, correct the chairman's pronunciation of your name so we can get that straight for the record. Introduce yourself and then speak to this bill, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to HB 41 today. My name is Steve Ricci. I work for the Aleutian Pribilof Island Community Development Association, more commonly referred to as a PICTA. PICTA is one of six community development quota organizations created in 1992 by the Magnuson-Stevens Act. Our mission is to increase direct participation in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands fisheries for our members and to develop fisheries-related economic opportunities for our communities. The CDQ program utilizes fisheries resources to create jobs, build infrastructure, and provide scholarships and workforce development training. The CDQ program has generated critically important and sustainable economic opportunities to 65 coastal communities for over 25 years and help leverage private sector dollars through partnerships and investments. We see tremendous opportunity in mariculture for Western Alaska. Business and revenue generation are part of a larger picture. Potential increases to subsistence fisheries, workforce development, and furthering research efforts to better understand the impacts of climatic-related ocean changes are all potential long-run benefits. APICTA is a member organization of the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation, which spearheaded the Alaska Mariculture Initiative, as Julie spoke to earlier. We've also been involved in the AK Crab Program, which researches the rehabilitation of king crab stocks. HB 41 will fill a current gap that exists for permitting and regulating restoration efforts such as the AK Crab Program and will provide a very important framework for future enhancement efforts. We believe that HB 41 is not only integral to bringing research advances to the implementation stage for the benefit of rural coastal communities, but will also open up new opportunities to sustainably grow Alaska's fisheries economy. We believe that HB 41 is consistent with the objectives of the Mariculture Initiative. And thank you for the time today.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. That concludes everybody on the call-in list, and I see nobody else in the room. Is anybody in the room not on the list that would like to speak to this bill before we close public hearing portion? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing portion of this bill. And what I'd like to do is possibly have Senator Bishop kind of walk through the fiscal notes. And when I have the appointed duty to handle the bills, to step in to assist Co-Chair Von Imhoff, I will be moving the assistance with the fiscal notes around the table for all members to get to participate. So we'll start with Senator Bishop, if you could take us through the fiscal notes on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fiscal note 2476, OMB component number, it's the Department of Revenue, appropriation is taxation and treasury, allocation tax division. And this is for bill version 41. It's a zero fiscal note, but a comprehensive analysis on the second page, Mr. Chairman. I've just highlighted some of those, and I'll be brief in those comments. In accordance with the statute, it's anticipated that setting a common property fishery assessment, DOR will annually analyze financial data to establish or verify historical operating cost, review forecasted hatchery returns in pounds and price information for the upcoming season from various sources to determine market trends, promulgate annual regulations for the assessment, and provide for filing instructions of the common property fishery through the revenue online. Down under implementation of cost, the committee does not anticipate, this is talking about the House committee, the committee does not anticipate that updates to the tax system will be necessary within the next 5 years, as it is a new cost recovery common property fishery. And in the last paragraph, the last sentence I highlighted, the DOR estimates that the necessary changes to the tax revenue management system will cost approximately $50,000 in a 3-month lead time to implement the necessary changes before any returns could be filed or payments accepted. So that's down the road, and they anticipate $50,000. Next one's ADF&G, OMB component number 2171, same bill number House Bill 41. I think it makes reference to an indeterminate fiscal note, the last paragraph, the permit application fee for shellfish enhancement projects and the new salmon private nonprofit hatchery will be removed from statute. This will give the departments the flexibility to set fees and regulation, and this additional flexibility coupled with unknown industry interest in these new projects is why the division is anticipating an indeterminate fiscal note. However, they're anticipating 2 to 3 applications for the first couple of years and then a decline thereafter to 1 permit a year. The last fiscal note is Mr. Chairman's OMB component number 471. Again, Department of Fish and Game, Appropriation Commercial Fisheries, Allocation Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, CFEC, and this would create a new chapter in Title 16, allowing for the creation of this shellfish enhancement project, similar to salmon fisheries. If enacted, the commissioner could issue permits to nonprofits seeking to engage in these enhancement programs. And currently, this Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission issues special harvest permits. Our 2 salmon hatcheries and under provision, this bill would be able to issue special harvest permits for the shellfish enhancement enterprises. So, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions, comments on the fiscal notes? Seeing none, we will now bring the bill sponsor forward. Looks like the bill sponsor ran out the door in fear. He's sending his lifeline forward. If you can introduce yourself for the record. Again, please, and help wrap up the bill. If you have any comments or additions to the questions answered or what have you, we do have we're not on a time constraint, so we'll take whatever time it's necessary.
Great. Thank you. For the record, Liz Harpold, staff to Representative Ortiz. Again, I just want to say thank you to the committee for hearing this bill today. Some of the questions I heard I want to address, such as oysters. Oysters are not native to Alaska. They don't propagate in Alaskan waters. Therefore, it's not a species that would be eligible for enhancement since there are no wild stocks of them, but they are great for farming, and we're happy to see that happening. As for some of the concerns about terminal harvest areas or cost recovery, the regulations that are statutes that might be laid out have to do with the commercial fishery aspect of that when it comes to personal use or sport or subsistence. If there is a nonprofit that wanted to enhance an area, they'd be subjected to the ways Fish and Game manages those. So I just want to put those 2 things out there, and I'd be happy to answer any more questions outside of committee, and I'll be sure to make sure that any questions that were left unanswered do get answered. So thank you.
Senator Wilkowski.
Mr. Chairman, maybe not for the sponsor, but I would like to hear from Fish and Game about the one piece of testimony that we heard, if that's possible.
That's possible when we're done here. We can bring Fish and Game back before we close up. Any other questions, Senator Olson?
Yeah, Before we do that, what's the sponsor's view toward Ms. Hildebrand's concern about removing crab from the bill so that there alleviates that concern?
I'd have to get back to you on that.
If you can get back to the committee.
Oh, sorry, excuse me, through the chair.
If you can get back to the committee on help us with the one piece of public testimony that had concerns dealing with the crab and the crab issue. And sure. Senator Wilikowski, any other questions for her?
For Fish and Game.
Right, okay, any other questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, thank you. We can have Fish and Game representative come forward again, please. If you could, Senator Wilikowski, if you could restate your question for the representative of Fish and Game.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it's in line with Senator Olson's question. Just if you could address the one concern that we heard about the crab. And I guess I'm curious, number one, if this has been, I assume this has been vetted with Fish and Game biologists and scientists. And I'm curious if there were any concerns expressed by any of the biologists or scientists about this bill.
For the record, Flip Pryor, aquaculture section chief for Fish and Game Division of Commercial Fisheries. Addressing the question to the chair, if I could get back to you on that, I could give you a more detailed answer.
That's fine. Any other questions for the department? If we can have the bill sponsor come forward again. Any final questions for the bill sponsor? So what I'd like the bill sponsor to do is of course, put together the answers for the other questions, help clarify that. Senator Wilikowski had several questions. If you could make sure you meet with the committee members, particularly Senator Wilikowski, and he seemed to have the most questions, so we can get responses back to his questions and then help us with the crab question along with there'll be response from the department. We should be able to package that stuff up over the next few weeks and kind of go from there. It would be appreciated.
Okay.
So we'll set this bill aside for further review. I do appreciate everybody coming in today and then online testimony as we work through these issues. That concludes the workload for today. The next meeting will be 9 a.m. Monday. There will be two work items on the agenda. House Bill 139, Alaska Permanent Incorporation Procurement Expansion, and House Bill 68, Labor Standards and Safety, Workers' Compensation. And this is kind of merging these two divisions at the Department of Labor is what we'll be talking about. So those two bills will be up Monday morning, 9 a.m. We are adjourned.